Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded on the 27th day of August, 2010. Harvest in Illinois is here today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this program, we'll talk with Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services out of Webster City, Iowa. Our panelists in studio today include Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services from Oakland, Illinois, Matt Bennett of Total Grain Marketing, or TGM, in Windsor, Illinois, and Greg Johnson of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Well, let's open our discussion today with this question. We have three folks in studio that sat in elevators. Have you had any harvest, and what do you hear?
Yeah, we're seeing harvested grain, and the moisture levels are dropping like a rock. And I'm getting reports, you know, maybe three different areas, maybe Little Egypt area, Oakland area, and, of course, from this area on up to Gibson City. And the general impression is that I'm disappointed, and I think the government's going to have to do a job on their resurveying and their yield analysis on this next report.
Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Little Egypt is southern Illinois around Carbondale area. Greg Johnson's from the Andersons right here in Champaign County.
And we've seen some harvest starting to take place this week, probably due to the fact that elevators are offering half-price drying to try to get some corn in so that trains can be loaded. And again, as Paul said, yields have been disappointing. Now, I'm optimistic and hoping that as we get into the fuller season corn, the corn that didn't dry down or die prematurely, that we'll see yields pick up later on. But that remains to be seen. But all we can say so far is the early yields are disappointing.
Matt Bennett, two negatives. Can we make it a third strike from your area around Shelbyville and Windsor, Illinois?
I think most people this summer felt like our yields would be pretty decent in our area. We missed some of the bigger rains there early on. And, you know, the guys that have been picking so far that have been talking about it have said that they've been pretty pleasantly surprised with their yields. I think there's been some people that haven't been overly happy with their yields as well. But I would say, as an average from the other parts of the state that I'm hearing about, our area, you know, in the Shelby Moultrie County area, is probably one of the better ones.
Will you be going full bore next week?
Yeah, we had several guys shelling corn today. I would assume next week we'll take in quite a bit of corn.
Corn this week in Chicago on the September contract had a high of $4.25. That low was at $3.99¾. It finished a quarter of a cent lower at $4.21. December corn at $4.40¾, down a quarter. Logistical question for you, Greg. How much grain do you have left in the elevator systems? And you could tell me about the Andersons if you want, that you really need to blend off. And what kind of problem does that create, if any at all? I was in the office with Daryl Good earlier in the week, and we were started the conversation about this. And he reminded me that, while we had 1.3 billion carryover, that was spread over a pretty wide geographic area, and it might not be as tough to move around as I was thinking earlier. What do you say from your vantage point?
Well, I think every elevator took in damaged corn beginning in the fall harvest, and it ran all the way through the winter months and then on into the spring and the summer. So everyone has damage, and everyone needed to hold on to so much of that so that so that they could get rid of it after we blend some new crop corn into the mix. But the barges are backed up down at the Gulf, sitting with number three, number four yellow corn. So the problem becomes logistically if the barges don't move back up, if the trains don't move, this new crop corn may not get loaded out quite as quickly as we hope for.
Yeah, whenever corn goes through this damaged stage, we lose weight. And I think that this is another factor. I think the old crop carryover that we have will be smaller. And the good point is that the quality of the corn maybe doesn't have as high a test weight as we'd like to see, is still going to help make this all happen as far as blending corn into the system.
I don't know whether anybody will have an answer for this. So if you do jump in, why is it that they would put 25 to 35 million on barges and let it set in New Orleans when it was when they knew it was probably out of condition and it needed to be blended? What's the reason for
nobody has a sharper pencil than a grain exporter? And when you have 2 and 3 cent damage, cents a point damage, it's all arithmetic, and it's a very economical situation for them. And you see these big grain companies own the barges too.
So they're just letting set and store, But doesn't it tie everything up logistically? Doesn't it create a problem on the river system?
Have that all figured out. They've done it before, Todd. Trust me, there's nobody that does the job any better than a big exporter.
All right, says the man from ADM Investor Services. Okay, good enough.
It adds up.
It does add up. I apologize. You are correct. I don't know, so you're correct. All right, so here we sit in Illinois. Harvest is beginning awfully early. You're feeling awfully friendly, aren't you?
Yeah, and the problem is what if we do have 2 to 4 bushel drop in, and we have basically a 48 million ton shortfall of production in Russia, Germany, and the Ukraine. And when you add all that up, plus if we come in with a 2 to 4 bushel drop here, you know, we're actually talking about a billion bushel corn carryover or less next year, and the arithmetic is that we do have some better prices.
Yeah, so you're adding 200 to 250 million into the export market because of the short wheat supplies.
Well, there's more to it than that. You actually take 2 to 4 bushels to the acre off of our corn crop here in the U.S., and that puts the carry over under a billion bushels, and that's where the real fun comes in.
Right. So we did those numbers on Commodity Week last week, but if you take 200 to 250 and put them in the export market and you drop the U.S. corn supply by 75 million, something along those lines, you're around a billion, and you could get it down to 900 million fairly quickly. But you're shaking your head.
Right. And then you also got to think a little bit. Everyone that can plant wheat in the fringe areas this year is going to plant wheat if they can get their hands on it. And I think that whenever you take everything into account that Paul's talking about as far as our ending stocks, you know, whenever you think about an acreage battle for this next spring, you know, beans are still fairly high priced. Wheat's going to be planted in a lot of areas where corn has been planted the last couple, 3 years. I think that the acreage battle could get pretty interesting just because of the available acreage that we have.
I would agree. If you think USDA is right with 180 bushel, a record yield for the state of Illinois, I guess I would argue, and I think I would argue that they're off by quite a bit. There's no doubt that we got the population, we got the pollination, but since pollination, everything has gone against this corn crop, and they're basing their methodology, I would guess, on counting number of ears, and there's plenty of ears out there, but those ears are small, and they didn't fill out, and they're going to be light kernels.
All right, everybody's shaking their head in agreement, so let's find out how far off you think they are. 180 to?
Illinois is not 180. Illinois is below 175. Maybe 173.
I would say, definitely closer to 170 than 180. I'm going to say 172 just to be close to him and not too far away.
Well, the beads of sweat were starting to pop on old Paul's head here today when we realized and started to hear these shocking numbers in the Champaign, Iroquois, Ford County area. And the reason I say that is that usually these are the bin buster counties in the state, McLean County as well. You factor that in with this smaller production, particularly east of the Mississippi, and are we really low enough with 2 to 4 bushels on this next report. And that's when we start to accelerate the price level if we're not. And the marketplace is going to figure that out in time. And, you know, we'll know the rest of the story. But one thing for sure is that corn is going to support itself above the 410 to 420 area for a while.
We mentioned wheat. We should take that up. September contract, a high of 697 this week, a low at 646.5, settled down 16.5 cents at $6.62.5. July at 705, down a penny and a quarter. You're far enough south, Matt. You're in country that supports wheat from time to time. You're going to have a lot more acres, and can they find the seed?
I don't think right where I'm at there'll be a lot more acres. I guess relatively speaking, yes, because there was hardly any wheat this year. But, you know, one problem people are having is just finding the wheat to plant. I think that it's going to be pretty interesting seeing how many people put it out. But I think once you go much farther south, if you've looked at what wheat with double crop beans following it can net you next year, I think a lot of guys are looking very closely at that. And I think once you get south of where I'm at, there's going to be a heck of a lot more wheat than what there was this year.
What's the discussion about where Kansas will land next year, corn, wheat, soybean acres? Do you know?
I would think the economics right now favor wheat. You know, if you have dry weather, which parts of Kansas had dry weather this year, the wheat is a much more of a dry weather crop. So I would think it would favor more wheat acres again in Kansas next year.
Any thoughts on the wheat market?
Well, the one thing that we do know is that we have a major problem in China. They had flooding in the rice area, and we also have a major problem in Pakistan. One-fifth of their country is underwater. And we don't really have the economic wherewithal to supply this part of the world with grain, you know, free. So as a result of this, I think the one thing that's shocking the bull here is, unlike the 1972 I lived through, we saw the Russians actually have this shortfall. They came into the market and bought tons and tons of grain. This time we do have the export capacity to handle the demand. The second thing we do have is that I think the demand will come forth, and this will help blend this damaged corn and this pick up the demand of corn in time.
One thing to keep in mind, too, with Russia is keep an eye on the weather in September. Things have been dry, and it already hurt this past year's crop. But if it stays dry through September, they probably cannot plant winter wheat to the extent that they would like to because of poor germination. And if that happens, then they have to plant spring wheat. And I didn't realize this, but spring wheat only yields about half of what the winter wheat does. So if they don't get rain in September, you know, we could be in for another bump up in the wheat prices.
From past years, though, the Russians go on out and plant that wheat at some point in time and take the chance, and then they just replant it as the time goes on. But the arithmetic, like you say, is a devastating lower yield.
Soy complex now, September beans, 1024 and three quarters the high, the low at 994 and a quarter. Settlement price, 12 and three quarters cents, high at $10.22. November beans at 993 and a half, up 22 cents. Everybody says they have more pods on their beans than they've ever seen, yet the marketplace still manages to gain. Why?
Well, I think there's a lot of areas that the weather's still somewhat of a concern. Yeah, you've got a lot of pods, but if you don't have good late-season rains to fill them out, it's a little bit of a problem. And, you know, in our area, we've been pretty dry. I know up in here, a lot of guys have said they've missed the rains that they needed. So I think weather is still enough of a concern that, you know, and whenever you look at the bullish sentiment that people have with corn in here you know, wheat this week wasn't maybe higher, but still is a fairly high price. I think it's pretty tough to just completely throw away the beans. Now, I'm not bullish beans by any stretch of the imagination, but I think that's the reason why these are some of the reasons why it's still fairly strong.
So corn enough of a fundamental to keep the bean market rolling higher?
No, I think beans can stand on their own 2 feet. And the fact that I think that as corn yields go, so go the bean yields. I haven't seen a lot of divergence through the 37 years of playing this game that I have. The other factor is that I think the bean pod counts are enormous. We do think that the bean seed size is going to be extremely small. The big factor here that I think in the soybean deal is that we're going to see a small bean, and the yields will adjust too.
How far along will corn harvest be when bean harvest actually starts, do you think, here in this part of the world?
Well, the beans just started turning about 5 to 6 days ago, and they say from when it starts turning, it's 4 weeks. So we're still a good two to three weeks away from bean harvest. And with corn drying down every day, like a rock, as Paul said, we're going to start seeing corn. So we'll probably get 2 weeks of corn harvest in before we switch over to beans, maybe as much as three.
There has been some beans harvested over in the Crawfordsville, Indiana area, and, of course, my source indicates they are a bushel or two under last year's crop.
I see farmers, a couple of farmers in our area, done with corn before they start with beans, actually. I'm not kidding.
Okay, thanks much. When we return here on Commodity Week, we'll talk with Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services. She's in Webster City, Iowa. Our panelists in studio today include Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services, Greg Johnson of the Andersons, and Matt Bennett of TGM. That stands for Total Grain Marketing.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
I'm Jim Angel, state climatologist here at the Illinois State Water Survey within the Institute of Natural Resource Sustainability on the campus of the University of Illinois. Overall, this week was close to normal on temperatures with some relief from the humidity. In fact, by the end of the week, nighttime temperatures were almost fall-like with lows in the low to mid-50s in most locations. Some parts of western and southern Illinois received between 1 and 3 inches of rain, while the rest of the state received less than an inch. We're not quite done with August, but here are how things stand so far. The statewide average temperature for the month is 77.1 degrees, which is 3.3 degrees above average, and that makes it the 12th warmest August on record. The statewide average rainfall is 3.4 inches, which is pretty close to normal for this time of year. While western Illinois continues its trend of wetter than normal conditions, parts of east central Illinois were quite dry. For example, Champaign received only 1.6 inches compared to a normal of 4.4 inches. According to the National Weather Service, warm weather will return this weekend, but not so much the humidity. Temperatures this weekend are expected to be in the upper 80s and low 90s for the highs and the mid-60s for the lows. This pattern will continue into the middle of next week. The next opportunity for rain will not be until Wednesday or Thursday. The 6 to 10 day and the 8 to 14 day forecast both call for above normal temperatures. Rainfall is expected to be near to above normal. The outlook for September is for an increased chance of above normal temperatures and near normal rainfall. For the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign, I'm state climatologist Jim Angel.
I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio for this edition of Commodity Week, the 27th of August, include Matt Bennett of TGM, Greg Johnson of the Andersons, and Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. Our guest on the phone line today from Webster City, Iowa, is Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services. Thanks so much for being with us, Sue.
Thank you, Todd.
Next week, you'll be with Dave Dickey at Farm Progress Show. Thanks for doing that, too.
Yes, I will be.
I know they're looking forward to seeing you, and I hear through the grapevine, and I'm sure this is the case, that you've been taking a few airplane rides around the area. What do the crops look like?
Well, the crop is, you know, the state of Iowa, if you look at beans, I would say a good 50% of the state's beans has a big issue. It's called sudden death. And in the meantime, the corn crop looks pretty much the same in most areas of the state, but it's coming home so fast. At first, we thought with the sudden death that the beans would be harvested first, and all of a sudden we're looking at the corn, and it's coming on so quickly that we believe we'll probably be harvesting corn before we will beans.
Sue, whenever you look at, yields, we were just talking about Illinois' yield at 180, and of course we all agree that that's way too high. What do you think about our big states, Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa?
Well, I think the yields are going to be down. I think Illinois is going to be a very variable state. I think Indiana is another state. I think the big kicker here has been these very warm days, above normal temperatures that we've had this year, and then the very warm, humid nights. And that's been the thing that has really cut the size of that kernel, brought home the crop much quicker than it should be. And I think that's really going to cut into the production on the corn crop. I think we're going to be somewhere, you know, the USDA was at 165.1. Don't hold me to this, but I think in 2008 we were around 163.9 or something like that. I think we're going to be less than the last 2 years. And I think we're probably going to come in with something around 160 nationally and maybe 160.1. But I don't think the yield's going to be good. And our demand is ramping up. We had some big unexpected situations occur with world weather back at the end of June, early July, or mid-July. But also we have to keep in mind we lost a bunch of acres back at the end of June in that plantings report. And that didn't even take into account all the ponding and flooding. Now, granted, you only kill it once, and you know, and there you go. The crop started off with such a beautiful potential this year, even size. Every kernel grew, beautiful, gorgeous-looking crops, and then to watch them just go south has been tremendous. I think our yields are going to be down. We have a big uptick in the demand side of things. I'm amazed that corn just keeps winding in this sideways range it's been in for 2 years. Usually two and a half years is about the extent of a sideways market for corn. I think we're going to be coming out of here. I think we're looking at big commodity markets this next year. And the one thing that we've all talked about is, you know, we talk about Kazakhstan, Ukraine, former Soviet Union, Russia, and yes, Germany, but nobody's really saying too much about China. And I think China is the big kicker. I think a lot of this corn that's going into unknown destination is actually ultimately destined for China. And China does not want the rest of the world to realize just how big their problems are, that they're going to be buying up front aggressively both corn and beans. And we have to remember, they're going into a harvest season too. And they've had horrendous weather this year, worse than we've had. And, you know, they've had areas where it was way too dry, even in the spring. Then they came back with way too wet. It was like a year of extremes for them. And lots of flooding. I mean, horrendous. And in all the major producing provinces. And then you've got North Korea with problems. And, of course, you know, in a good year, they can't seem to feed themselves. But they certainly need help from China. And I think China's got a major issue on their own. I think there's the big surprise is that China comes into this market and their appetite's going to be unsatiable.
Sue, the four biggest corn states are Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, and Nebraska. And we know that Minnesota and Nebraska's good to excellent ratings are way up there, so we assume they're going to have good yields. And we think Illinois is down. But Iowa, the number one state, seems to be a variable, and it seems like certain parts of the state have different problems or different potentials. Can you kind of generalize? I know it's hard to generalize a whole state, but where's the good corn? How bad is the bad corn? Did this late flooding really hurt as much as what some think it did?
I think it did. If you go across the southern part of the state, you know, that's the area that was flooded first and had lots of trouble and lots of ponding. Okay, they got replanted. Then you get into July, and all of a sudden, they turn back wet again. In the meantime, the northern part of Iowa, the north-central part of Iowa, was dry from the 1st of April to about the 2nd of June. And all of a sudden, it flipped, and we turned extremely wet. Lots of flooding. FEMA came into our town. And, you know, I think that northwest Iowa, you go up towards northwest Iowa, you know, it's a different type of soil. It's that Primgar type of soil, Galvis soil, and it's a little hillier and lighter. But this year, their crops look much better. Now, what's interesting is just this past week, I was up into that area, and the crop on corn doesn't look a whole lot better than locally where I'm at. And, of course, through the whole center part of the state, you know, extending sort of off towards Waterloo, Iowa, on the east, and then on towards Highway 169, Fort Dodge, Iowa, maybe a little bit beyond that on the west. You know, but you go straight up the middle of the state, and the crops don't look good at all. In the meantime, there's disease out here, lots of disease. God's wilt is one that's in the corn that a lot of farmers are not accustomed to. that is something more of someone that irrigates is accustomed to than Iowa farmers. As far as beans go, we've all heard about the sudden death, and it's pretty severe. And now the Farm Progress Show is within 40 miles of me, and so it's going to be right into the heart of the area. And when people are flying in, they're going to see how these fields from the sky are this tan color, and they're going to see all the ponded areas that are there, that if it's in beans, it's in corn as well. And all of a sudden, they're going to find that our yields, I think what's going to happen is on Tuesday when we start the Farm Progress Show and they start doing some of the harvesting and everything, I think there's going to be a lot of phone calls going back to Chicago, and those markets are going to go up. I'm not bearish at all.
So let's go a two-part question here. The state of Iowa had a 51-bushel average. What's your prediction on that one? And did you see any sudden death up in the Minnesota?
There's very little in Minnesota, in the southern part tier of it. There is some, but it is so sparse. And if you go from Highway 169 west and north, very little there, too. Now, some of those beans were double planted or replant, but they're lush and green, and they look so much better than what we have. Of course, when beans start coming home, they never look pretty anyway, but when they've got sudden death, we started noticing sudden death the first week of August, like around before August 5th, and we thought we were seeing things because it'd be whole fields getting this cast, and to find out it was sudden death. Now, our crops probably were planted quite early, and that might have been a godsend, and depending on how early of a variety of beans it is, which early beans don't yield like later full-season beans, but this year that may have been a godsend if they've got the sudden death because of the fact that they'll get some yield out of it. If it's not, then there's going to be a problem. But you go up across, I'd say, the western side, and then we took Highway 9, which comes across the very southern, right across the border, basically, just south of the Minnesota-Iowa border. And as soon as we hit Highway 169, it just changed totally back to sudden death. Now, you get into Minnesota, few fields that you see, but it's nothing like Iowa. For some reason, Iowa just has been hit hard this year with it.
And if you could follow up on that question, what do you think the statewide yield for Iowa might be?
I think Iowa's yield is probably going to be down. I'm going to guess somewhere around 44.
All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Sue Martin is with Ag and Investment Services. She's in Webster City, Iowa. You can visit with her in the AgriGold area at the Farm Progress Show next week. She'll be there along with Dave Dickey on our studio panel today. Matt Bennett is with TGM. A final word from you, Matt.
Yeah, I'd just like to encourage everyone to be careful out there this fall. And you know what? I think it'll be a quick one, so take it easy and don't work too long hours.
Greg Johnson of the Andersons.
Well, I'm as friendly as anybody when it comes to corn, but keep in mind that December corn is $4.36. It has rallied about 80 or 90 cents already. So some of this poor crop, good demand has already been factored in.
And Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois.
Have a great week. Weekend.
Thanks much to our panelists in studio. Again, that's Paul Cooley, Greg Johnson, and Matt Bennett, and of course our panelist guest included Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services. You can always hear Commodity Week online at willag.org. That's willag.org. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Land Grant in Urbana-Champaign, the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a great week and be safe this harvest season.